Welcome to Soul Care Culture, a podcast by Biblical Counseling Ministries. Through each of these conversations, we want to glorify God by helping church leaders just like you develop an empowering culture of biblical soul care. Thanks for joining us today.
So I'm back with Colton Conover, and we're going to have the second part of this conversation now. And Colton, I was finding in my own spirit as I was listening, just the reality of some of the dark parts of this world and the people that are stuck in this world that they can be drawn into. And I'm also thinking about the reality of spiritual warfare. And I'm also thinking about some of the approaches that have been used, the popular approaches that even the church has used to try to minister and reach these people. So I'm super excited to talk with you about this, because I think you're going to shine some light in areas. Now, being on the other side of this, you were one of those, and now you're a pastoral intern studying the Bible and ministering to people, especially in a town that has a very severe crisis in this area of drug problems. And really, the truth of it is our whole country is that way now, but the town we're talking about is it's probably one of the most severe trials of that town. But I do want to start with just the truth, because God instructs us here, and he says, finally, be strong. And of course, I'm in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, and be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. We talked about the power, and this will be a great opportunity for us to hear your story further about how you went from being a bug man, who I met you at the church. You were a bug man at the church that you're now a pastoral intern at. And all of a sudden, X amount of time later, you're a pastoral intern being mentored and getting further equipped in the Bible and prepared to be a full-time pastor. You're on that journey. So this podcast, I'm super excited to talk about one of the tools that my mentor, one of my biggest mentors in my life of biblical soul care, Garrett Higbee, who has Soul Care Consulting, and we're going to talk about freedom groups. And that is something that if that's not a familiar tool that you don't know about yet, please check out Soul Care Consulting, because we're going to talk about that today and how you've been able to use that tool within a church context to minister to people that are suffering or stuck in sin. And either being sinned against and they're stuck, or they're stuck in their own sin. But either way, Freedom Groups is a nice tool within a church context to minister to. So Colton, welcome back, and pick us up from the moment I saw you as bug guy and senior pastor there being so excited about you and what he was watching God do in and through you, to now you're at the church every day being a pastoral intern. So fill in that blank for us.
Well, thanks for having me back, Mike. And so after I got came to know the Lord, freed, broken these chains that I had been wearing for so long. That was obviously something that was really important for me. I was passionate about that. It's because someone who's been freed by the Lord wants to help others experience that as well. But so I was still doing pest control for a little while, and still like pursuing the Lord in the Word, listening to other testimonies and reaching out to people. And, over time, this has led to me, I think even actually before I got on staff at the church, we kind of piloted Freedom Groups, which has been an incredible resource. And one that I would encourage anyone, any pastoral staff to look at and consider, because it has been massively impactful from what we've seen. Before that, you're excited about, I was excited to see people get sober and be free from these chains, but it seemed like the common resources that we see people, go towards, we see things like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, even Celebrate Recovery. That was like the three that you hear over and over. Rehab clinics, that sort of thing. And some of these programs are really like they're heavily into secular psychology. The recidivism rate, people returning to their sin, is astronomically high. In fact, it's a pretty bleak statistic if you look at it for lifelong recovered from whatever it is. So I start to look more at these programs and interact with people who've been through them. Like when it comes to AA, there was, we talked a little bit in the past podcast about my kind of background in the New Age and the occult. And so I'm talking to a lot of my friends, a lot of people who've already been through this lifestyle. They're going through these cycles of AA or NA, and listening to their language. As I start to kind of research more about this topic, I'm seeing that these programs, there is a spiritual element to Bill Wilson's, AA. Like, you hear people say higher power a lot. That's one thing I hear repeatedly, higher power, higher power. Because that's one of the steps in the 12 steps, is that people have to come to a higher power. But there's no specification on that. Like, this microphone could be my higher power. In fact, I've heard stories where it's like leaders tell people, point to an object and say, that can be your higher power. This garbage can be your higher power, whatever. It's this very ambiguous thing, this God of your own creation that's supposed to hold you accountable. But I noticed there was a spiritual undertone, and the more I start to look at these programs, I was kind of surprised to see that these programs aren't spiritually neutral. In fact, there's very much a New Age or even an occultic element of the guy who created the Bill Wilson. I was watching an interview recently with Mark Shaw and Doreen Virtue, who have both been through AA. They've both been through the program. They know it very well. Before Mark Shaw was a biblical counselor and wrote his books, he had some pretty jaw-dropping information about Bill. He was saying how he was a fan of seances and even Ouija board stuff like that I came out of. And not only that, but there was a lot of pervasive sin stuff in his life. And what I've personally seen as a result, the people that go through it, they might go from an atheist to like a very like loose agnostic, but I don't see anyone coming out of it who's been radically changed by the gospel. They come to know Jesus, and it's usually a spiritual grab bag of a God of their own creation. And so there's some concerning things when it comes to AA and NA. And I know, there's pastors that refer people to those programs unknowingly. Like, they don't know that. And it just confuses people who are trying to walk with the Lord. They get all this, kind of get the waters muddied, so to speak. So I would caution against that. It's a very, very much a works-based, self-righteous program I think one of the first things it tells you is that you're insane and you have to take these 12 steps to make yourself sane again. And we know from scripture that doesn't jive with, when you're misdiagnosing the problem as a sin problem. And I've also noticed Celebrate Recovery, it's kind of a sister program that's a little more, there's a little more Christian influence there. There's Bible verse. It is considered a Christian program. So it sounds great. And anyone who didn't know any better would think it's great. But again, it doesn't deal with the spiritual component, the issue that's at hand, or our sinful nature. Instead, it harkens back to the fact that your self-esteem is low and you need to, you need to get your self-esteem up, which we know is the opposite of the solution. Our self-esteem is already high. If we're living in a life-dominating sin, an addictive, pattern. So I was very grateful when I was introduced to Freedom Groups. In fact, I really like the way that it happened at our church. I'm starting to be involved more at the church, and our head pastor had asked me to come along They had a guy from another church who was seeking freedom. He had what Freedom Groups is, before I even dig into this, it's a 13-week small group ministry that's geared. It's not AA, it's not NA. It's geared to help people receive freedom from whatever sin it is that's dominating them, or whatever sin that's besetting their walk with the Lord, anything that's interfering with this. So it's not just a drug program. It's not just an alcohol program. Although those are reasons we've seen people come in. It could be an anger thing. It could be pornography. It could be even depression. They haven't been able to overcome the grief of a loved one passing. We've seen a lot of this kind of stuff. A child that's passed, but they haven't been able to. It's besetting their life. So it's not even just exclusive to sin. It's also these traumatic things that have happened. They haven't been able to move forward from.
They're suffering from sin.
Suffering. Yes. Yes. You bet. Exactly. So. But the first case we happen to have did involve a guy who was using drugs and cigarettes, and it was very much a problem in his marriage and in the lives of his children. So they asked me to come along to be his advocate because of my background, and then it was his pastor and my pastor. And so it started as a small thing. It was not a huge group of people. It started off, and it was pretty incredible. Just that first time we went through the material, we were all going into it blind. We didn't know what we were in for. But I noticed immediately what was different about Freedom Groups was that there was an emphasis on lasting freedom. You're not, we don't stand up and say, "Hi, my name's Colton and I'm an addict," or whatever, and this is always going to be my identity. It was about true freedom in Christ, and that this wasn't a program that you're going to attend meetings for the rest of your life, like NA or AA, where you have to have these, complete these 12 steps, these works-based things. It was completely different, and it was very gospel-focused. And the interesting thing, this first guy, this trial run, so to speak, he was genuine. He wanted to do the work. He wanted to save his marriage. This was like a last ditch thing, last ditch effort. He knew something had to change. And he was about 40 years old, had been to church his entire life. His father was a pastor. And so it was interesting, and this has been a reoccurring thing that's happened, somewhere around the fourth or fifth, like the way Freedom Groups is, the way it goes is it presents the gospel. It makes it to where you understand your sin, you understand the redemption in the Lord and freedom and what that looks like. And it really is like an incredible gospel tool that really presents it very clearly. Somewhere around the fourth or fifth session where he comes in, he said, I don't think I've been walking with the Lord at all my whole life. I think I just got saved.
Wow.
And it was from that moment, it was like an epiphany. Everything changed.
Wow.
We're not using weed anymore. We're not using these other drugs. We're not smoking cigarettes anymore. It was like the gospel did exactly, it was a supernatural transformation from the Lord. His marriage begins to heal. His relationships with his children begin to heal. And it was like such a clear, and it was, I knew right then, like this is something we have to continue to employ in our church. This is like such a powerful tool. It was incredible to see that. And that's been the kind of a theme. It's somewhere around that fourth or fifth time. We've done several other runs of Freedom Group now, and they keep growing in size. So I was glad for the smaller, intimate group, which equipped me and other table leaders, and it kind of has been a very like organic growth, and it's been able to prepare people to be involved in this, counselors and advocates and table leaders, getting familiar with the material, and the homework is excellent. And we've just seen incredible fruit from it. We've seen a couple people now that, again, the second time we did it, fourth or fifth session, a lifelong, someone who had been sitting in a pew their entire lives and believed that they were walking with the Lord, who had very much life dominating. Ironically, it was a drug issue with this certain lady as well. She came and said the exact same thing. She said, I think I've been faking it this whole time. And I finally, like, the gospel clicked. My heart's different. I don't desire to do these things anymore. I'm desiring to live for the Lord now. So the conviction worked, you know, it worked repentance, and they came to know the Lord. And I look around and I'm not seeing this kind of fruit come from NA and AA. In fact, just telling you, before, good friend of mine, that I knew in high school, it's really a good looking kid, comes from a good upper middle class family, it seemed like he would have had a full ride to whatever college he wanted to through sports or whatever. But, you know, we partied and hung out and done our stuff back in the day. And then I didn't hear from him for a long time. And he called around and got my number to the church and left us a voicemail. He called me. He said, "Hey, it's me. I know we haven't talked in 12 years, but I am, just so you know, I've been an IV heroin user, and I've just been living like the walking dead. I'm at the end of my rope. I know this thing's going to kill me. I've been to rehab 12 times, been to jail, in and out, lost everything to this." Like, he's like, "But I've noticed that you made it out of this lifestyle, and I know that you credit this Jesus guy to this. And so I have to know this guy. Like, can you just share this Jesus guy with me?" So start having him come in and, you know, discipling him in freedom groups. We were just on the cusp of another round of freedom groups. So it worked out really, like, the Lord's timing on that was excellent. And we both made the comment, you know, he's like, "This is the first time," you know, he still had the NA language, you know, so I had to, like, make it clear, like, just forget everything you learned in NA. You know, he's saying, "My higher power this, like, I've never tried the higher power thing." And in fact, he said before, when he was stuck in these life dominating the cycle, his parents got him to the nicest rehabs you could go to in Florida and California and Texas. And he said most of the time when he got out of there, he would have his bag of drugs already lined up for whenever his plane touched down, and he would go right back to it, just like clockwork, not even trying to remain sober. And he said his longest stretch of sobriety was 6 months in the last 12 years. It's the longest I stayed sober. And I made the comment, I said, "Well, it seems like with these rehabs or like these secular programs, like there's really always another sin that comes to fill that place." And he said, "Oh yeah, that 6 month span, I wasn't using heroin, but I was drinking in an excess. I was using cocaine, and I was pretty much nightly at a underground gambling place, just losing thousands of dollars." He said, "In fact, it was a quicker destructive pattern than my heroin addiction was." So he wasn't free. He just exchanged the cuffs for you know, a different life dominating sin. But he made the comment as we're going through freedom groups, he said, it's so strange to me now that I know the Lord. You know, he came to a saving knowledge of Christ. He gets baptized. He's doing freedom groups. He said, "I've never experienced this in the last 12 years where, I don't have this urge or this voice in the back to encouraging me to use drugs or go get drugs or manipulate or any of these things that I've done for the last 12 years. You know, when you're," and I experienced that as well, "when your life revolves around these sins, you know, that's every thought you have. There's always this voice in the background. There's always this urge to use. There's always this thing that's you're not fully comfortable unless you're, you know, engaging in this thing." And he says, "I don't even," like, he's like, "That's how I know it's a supernatural gift from the Lord. It's just like, I don't even have this urge to use heroin anymore. Like, it is gone." And the Lord did that for me as well. He took that urge to use away in a supernatural way. And anyway, we're seeing freedom groups used, and we're seeing people get true freedom where they're not having to attend a 12-step meeting every week or every other day. Some people go daily at these AA and NA meetings. So anyway, freedom groups, I'm a huge fan of. In fact, we're getting ready to start another round. And we've seen this impact our church family. Like, there's usually a good spread of people that have come from outside of the church. And then there's some that are inside the church. Everyone comes for different reasons. But what we're seeing happen now, and it's been a joy, we're seeing these soul care happening on a organic level, where it's not it being administered, where these people that are in these tables together, because you're separated by tables. Sometimes we'll do guys and girls, or sometimes you know, a few small groups of girls. Usually you have six people to a table or something, and we're seeing these connections being made within the church that are just that are excellent for accountability. These people are like remaining lifelong, caring for each other's needs. We just, our last freedom group spawned a women's Bible study where these women have grown incredibly close, and there's been some transformative stuff that's happened in in the lives of these women that is lasting outside of freedom groups and continues to grow. So it's been an awesome program. I'm really excited to go through again here in the coming after the holidays. So
yeah, and you're highlighting the community aspect within the church that as I think about AA and some of those other secular approaches, they do offer some positive aspects that people really feel connected. They feel loved on, they feel understood, they feel a safe place to share their baggage. Boy, if we're going to be that hospital for the saints and sufferers, we have to get there. And I think that's a beautiful part, as I've observed this happen at your church. And I'm thinking of an elder comment one, because it's Wednesday nights, I think you've done these, or is it Sunday? Thursday. And I remember him saying to your senior pastor, and he passed along to me, like, watching the small groups where you're having that sharing time among themselves and praying for each other. He's like, I think this is what prayer meetings should be like. I think this is what they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because people were getting real.
Yep.
You know, it's not the, and of course, there's nothing wrong with the prayers for health needs. Sure. And my great aunt who's having her hysterectomy, you know, there's nothing wrong with that prayer, but we've got to get below that, don't we?
Yeah. And Freedom Groups was like, a great medium to get past that surface deep. Like by a few sessions in, like there's always this hesitant, you know, first or second session, but after you've connected with these people, you understand, like, there is this growth that happens and this realness that takes place in those groups that is moving. Like I love to see it happening, because you don't get that necessarily on a Sunday morning. Yeah. You're high in and buy in, and it's very, you don't get that deep connection with people that you would get through a 13-week, you know, a small group ministry like that. And like I said, almost every time there's this urge, like we want to continue this connection that we have. So there's Bible studies that come out of it, or just these lasting relationships where people stay in these group chats and they encourage each other and they are there for each other. And they now have these resources. Well, like you said, there may be people listening to this who they maybe know someone who went through AA or NA and actually got, you know, stopped drinking or what have you. And I think that is maybe the most helpful component of those, is that you have this 24-hour access to your sponsor or whatever. You have this community of people who've been through what you've been through, and you're healing together. And every once in a while, I do see someone that, you know, is no longer drinking, and praise God for that. But you don't know what else is happening in that life. But I think that communal aspect of that, the church should be very much caring for people like that.
You highlight an important part, though, that some of these other ministries, these secular approaches to life-dominating sins, although they could be viewed as a ministry because there is a theology behind every single one of these, I'm learning. But there is a highlighting of stopping. Like, we just need to get you to stop doing drugs. Right. That's our motive. And boy, you're 54 days in. Let's celebrate that, you know. But what we're talking about is gospel change. We're talking about redemption, and we're talking about sustainable change, and we're talking about progressive sanctification. Well, you highlighted that these tools can be used as an evangelistic tool. You've watched people come receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior through this. So they didn't even know that they had a bigger problem than they thought they had. It wasn't drugs. They needed to meet the person, meet the Savior, and that happened. But then for those people that are believers that have somehow believed lies that, like, okay, well, this is just how I'm wired, or this is just the thorn in my side that I've been given to handle during my lifetime. All those lies versus, no, you need the power of Jesus Christ to change you,
right?
Save you, justify you, but now let's talk about change. So that's where I'm so appreciative of the biblical approach that, like, a Freedom Groups would use, where we're talking about Ephesians 4, the whole put off, put on. You know, we're not just saying, great, you've stopped that. We're saying, no, this is all about you continuing to change by the power of God to grow more like Jesus Christ. And that's a process. And, you know, I'm thinking that, we're told, I think it's Philippians that says we should work out our salvation. Of course, there's no works in salvation. That's not the context, but we do have a part.
Right.
Like, we need to be active with this change process. And that's hard work. So all of that, though, feeds into the type of tool that you're referring to as Freedom Group, because people are coming and they're gonna get exposed, number one, to the reality that, hey, we're all sitting here and we're all broken. We all have something we're bringing to this table. Yeah. Some are more prominent or more clear to see those sins. But we've got, Jerry Bridges wrote a book called Respectable Sins. There's a lot of other people that we know how to hide our sin, and it's a respectable one, but in God's eyes, it's the same ugly sin.
Right.
So Freedom Groups is a tool that I like within a church context that's so natural that just like you referred to organically, it feeds the one another's. Yeah. And once people build some trust around that and start believing that, you know, I can come forward with my problems. I'm just not going to be put out of the church. Or they won't understand me. That's why I'm going to go to my AA support group, because they get me. Well, we get each other in the gospel context really well, but we have to be comfortable with that we are broken. We need a Savior, and we need the power of the gospel every single day to change us, or we're going to start, you know, us dumb sheep, we'll just start veering. We'll start finding ourselves stuck in the fence somewhere again. But the church is a beautiful context for this. Maybe talk about that, Colton, because there may be pastors out there, because, oh, these poor guys, they're sheep coming in, and of all other types of sin and suffering, the people I've met that have been through AA, they are really passionate about this stuff. So, like, if you start knocking on, criticizing it all, like, you're going to get... It's a religion of itself. So help that pastor understand, because probably every pastor out there may have a few people that have either had experience with this or are really believing it's the right thing and trying to convince the pastor it's the right thing. Like, just shed some light on the differences of how you've seen a biblical approach be more effective, more powerful, because it's God's power and it's His word and His truth, but also sustainable.
Yeah.
Like, talk about that a little bit.
So it, kind of like what you you touch on, is that the end goal of Freedom Groups is not behavioral modification. It's not stop this behavior and everything will be fine. It is gospel change, supernatural transformation from understanding the gospel, from coming to a saving knowledge in the scriptures. And even those, like, returning people who maybe have and who've slipped and fallen, you know, who've backslidden into this this sin that's become dominating in their life, returning to that understanding, and it's very clear the way it's presented. There's a lot of people who've been sitting in pews for a long time that hasn't clicked, that we are broken, that we are sinful people, that we aren't capable of changing ourselves. You know, we need the Lord. to do that for us. And that is a humongous difference between those programs and Freedom Groups, is that the Lord is doing the work, supernatural transformation through the gospel in the lives of those who respond to Freedom Groups. You can tell immediately who is really going to be benefiting. There's people that'll come to check it out. They want to know what's going on with it. There's people that you can tell clearly, like, they want freedom. They're going to do the homework, which is not cumbersome. It makes you engage with the Word of God. It makes you engage, and it's not even like a, I hate even using the word like homework, because it's like they're engaging with the Word of God. And maybe there's a lot of people who've never done that. They're Christians. You know, they've never cracked that Bible and realize, you know, what the Word says. And so it kind of ushers that in. And when we go to like AA, we're getting this group setting and we're all talking, but I mean specifically, I know someone recently who went to Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christian program. It was at a church. So in their mind, they were very immature Christian. They're just getting started in their walk with the Lord. But they're struggling with pornography, struggling with marijuana. And so this was before, they weren't coming to my church, but it was someone I was discipling. And they just said, I heard about the Celebrate Recovery thing. It's this Christian. But they were going there, and it was very, everything he told me about it was very reminiscent of an AA meeting. And it was said the leader was someone that, it was very much the blind leading the blind. The leader of the Celebrate Recovery wasn't someone who was like very knowledgeable in the scriptures and who was capable of leading them to know the Lord. It was just someone who had been through addiction in their past and was kind of leading this group, and they kind of share with each other. But there didn't seem to be fruit coming from that, lasting desire change, heart attitude changes. Like, I think one of the biggest aspects of Freedom Groups is that it examines and helps you to understand your heart attitude. That was one of the big aha moments for me going through it the first time. And what we've noticed, what me and collectively all of the table leaders that are there to help, like, we benefit just as much as the people that are going through the program for whatever reason. Like, there's so much good, applicable knowledge that you can take from this, that you can understand the hard attitudes that we have and that we're seeing come to the surface whenever we're engaging in this, you know, whatever sin it is, and how the Lord, how the scriptures prescribe, you know, how to deal with that. So Freedom Groups definitely is stand apart, and we have to make it clear. One thing that we realized after the first time we opened up Freedom Groups to our congregation, the overwhelming consensus, people lumped it in the same camp of AA or NA, like that, or the Celebrate Recovery. That's where their head went. It's a drug rehab or alcoholic program. So the next time we came, or the next time we, and it was good. The way that the Lord worked everything out for that second session was very good. We had the right people there, got the right table leaders to go through it. That way they could help with the next round of Freedom Groups. But we had to, like, then the word started to spread throughout the church. Hey, this isn't AA. This isn't NA. We're seeing people getting free from these dominating things in their life that aren't alcohol or drugs. And that's when the interest really picked up. And now this next, you know, this fourth run of Freedom Groups, we're expecting, like, word has kind of gotten out. Like, this thing, like, there's lasting change. I don't desire to be angry all the time anymore. I've found freedom in Christ. And I don't desire to do this thing, that whatever it is that brings these people in. That has gotten out into the church. And now there's this people are excited for it. And we're seeing a lot more interest in it.
One of the other things I appreciate how Garrett created Freedom Groups is it's not made to be a small group, and it's not made to be this secular, I need to be it my whole life. It's right. 13 weeks. I think he's even set it up where you're only supposed to go through it twice. Like, it's supposed to be getting really solid on what God says about these areas of being stuck in sin or being sinned against, and, and you're a sufferer, and it addresses both, and it makes it very applicable to everybody. Boy, I wish everybody in a church could go through freedom groups. It's really, it's would that's you agree with that?
That's the sentiment that everyone says. My wife just went through it just to understand it and become a table leader, and she was very like transformed by it, loved it. And almost the sentiment we hear from everyone, everyone needs to go through this. Everyone needs to go through it. Like that's
it applies to all of us because we're all sinners and we're all suffering in some way because of sin, because we're in a sin broken world. So talk to that dear pastor out there that's listening, that's saying, you know, I'm convinced of this. I like this idea, but I have no margin. I can't add a freedom groups into my ministry right now. Like talk to that pastor. Like, what would you say to him?
So the other, cause like I'm not, you know, as qualified whenever I started it, but the way that it is set up, like you said, it's 13 weeks. So it's not this lifelong thing. And that is the encouragement, is that it's not a reoccurring thing. There's a 2-time limit, which honestly, we haven't seen anyone go through it 2 times yet. I'm sure there will be where, you know, it just didn't stick, or I missed a couple of sessions in there and, you know, for whatever reason, or they weren't interested in doing the homework the first time. They really weren't ready to give up this sin or whatever it was. But yeah, it's not a you're going to do this forever type of thing. We've employed it in our church as a reoccurring thing because of how fruitful it's we've seen it already. Not only are people outside of the church coming to know the Lord as an evangelistic tool, it's been great. And that's not our drive to use it, but that's just been a symptom of it. But the it's not a cumbersome program. Like we do an hour and a half, depending on the size of the group. We do an hour and a half once a week, maybe 2 hours, depending on the size of the group. And it's what people are capable of doing, but the material is very easy to engage with, and it doesn't take a, you know, a biblical scholar or a, you know, a theologian to administer. Like,
because there's teaching videos. Now, a pastor may choose to create their own curriculum, but they have teaching videos. So, really, the leader of Freedom Groups can pull it off the shelf. And
what I see too, and is that people get excited about it when they see, like I was excited, and I immediately, like whenever I saw that fourth or fifth session of the very first time we did it, and the guy came and said, I think I just came to know the Lord. I was like, I want to be involved in this. Like the pastor is likely not going to have to take this thing on as much as it'll be someone who's been changed by or seen the fruit or has that drive. Like someone's going to take it over and say, I will easily give up an hour or two of my week for 13 weeks to administer this or to help with this. That's how it's been so far. We haven't had to beg anyone to be involved with this. It has been, people are excited about it. My table leaders are saying, when is Freedom Groups going to start back up? Because they love what's happening in there.
It brings the life to the reality of how the gospel touches all parts of our life. It's very practical.
Well, and some people go through, they go through seasons where they're not fruitful. And there's this stagnation, and I've seen this too, where they get comfortable in their Christian walk, and they're, you know, they're not interacting with anyone outside of the church, and they're not really, you know, there's not that soul care happening. And then they experience that soul care and see it transform people, and they go, okay, I want in on this. Yeah. Like, this is awesome. That's how I
would. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the reality of how God gave us the one another's in the church context for this. We need community. We need each other. Mm-hmm. And too often, there's that separation.
Yeah.
But I also have seen it used in some other churches, and I'm such a fan of it because it sits right between small groups and formal counseling, biblical counseling. So it's kind of counseling light, but has elements of small group, you know. So where I really have seen it thrive in churches is if you have a small group leader that maybe doesn't feel fully equipped to address some of these things fully, he could say, you know what, hey, let's go to Freedom Groups together. I'll go with you. So that's that 13 weeks of additional training and equipping that happens in ministry. And then they go back to their small group, and which is wonderful because it's Freedom Groups is not made to replace the small group.
Right.
On the other hand, I've seen people that thought they needed formal counseling, and you look at their paperwork that they filled out and their problems, like, you know, I'm not really sure you need the SWAT team on this, the equipped, certified, confident, trained counselors. Freedom Groups, why don't you try that for 13 weeks? And if you don't see God change your heart or help you in a way that you were looking for, well, let's revisit formal counseling, more intensive discipleship. But I've seen people that thought they needed counseling and they went to Freedom Groups and God did an amazing change. And then they went back to their small group and all of a sudden they're ministering to people in their small group. So it kind of sits in between those two in my mind.
I agree. And I absolutely see that. It is the perfect intermediate tool. And I think there's a lot of people that are not willing to acknowledge that, you know, there's a lot of weird associations with like biblical counseling and going into this room with one other, you know, and then they join this group. It's not so formal, right, like you said. Yeah, well, let's check it out. And there's kind of there's less pressure on the situation. Yeah. I agree. And then it covers such a wide range of things. It's not specified to one sin like alcohol or drugs. It's like there's such a wide variety of sins and things that are besetting someone's walk with the Lord that you can work through as you go through Freedom Groups, that I think it is the perfect intermediate tool like that.
Well, Colton, thank you for sharing your experience with this tool. And dear pastors, again, this is a tool that Garrett Higbee created that can be found through Soul Care Consulting. And I just encourage you to please do that. It's a tool that you'll want to consider. And, you know, we're here to help you. We're just primarily talking about a tool today, but, at BCM, we've created the customized blueprint solution that it would be a joy to talk to you about in terms of having a plan. Like, how do you create an overall plan to change a culture, not just, add a ministry or build a ministry, but have a changed culture of biblical soul care, where what we're talking about with the one another's is just thriving and it's organically driven. We're not just building another program or adding a ministry. We're talking about a culture change that glorifies God. And when it clicks, like you've talked about, Colton, when it clicks for people and they see like, this is really beautiful. I'm not forced to go to this. I want to go to this. I need this. And I don't want to let that community part go. It's beautiful to see when that happens. So, Pastor, we're at bcmnational.org. It'd be a privilege to talk to you. Just go through the website, and we'd be glad to have a free 30-minute consultation with you. And I hope this encouraged you. I hope this strengthened you. Colton, your testimony is powerful, really powerful. And you're a walking testimony that God's power can take someone in a really, really dark place. Right there at the edge with demonic forces, and God's more powerful.
Amen.
But God, a couple of my favorite words in scripture, but God. So God, you're a walking testimony to the power of God, Jesus Christ, not only for salvation, but for life-dominating sins that seem hopeless.
Amen.
And we have a hope that God has power, and God can pull people out of the biggest messes that no human power can do. And when that happens, he gets glory. And that's what we want, don't we, brother?
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thanks again.
Thank you,
Mike. Joy to do with you.
You bet.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Soul Care Culture, a podcast by Biblical Counseling Ministries. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future conversations. And we want you to know that we're here for you. To learn more about our Biblical Counseling Blueprint model, head to our website at bcmnational.org. Again, that's the letters bcmnational.org. We'll see you next time.